Hi, I'm Paul Perreault, co-host of Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick. On behalf of Craig, I want to thank you for listening to our weekly show of news and prayer. Feel free to share this with others. Plus, you can find out more or listen to past shows at our show page on myfaithradio.com. Thanks for joining us for Grace and Truth of this final weekend in May.
We're not even fighting in the court system about the legal validity of the order. We're just fighting in the court system about whether or not the executive order goes into effect while we're legally fighting about that order. The likelihood of this order going into effect and being applied during the Obama administration is very minuscule.
That was Texas Governor Greg Abbott, and that order he was talking about was a federal appeals court ruling that a certain executive order that the president had put forward, one that would deal with illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants, shielding them from being deported, that is being blocked. Actually, there was an issue that 26 states had with the Obama administration saying they overstepped their authority in putting the order together. I'm Paul Perreault. This is Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick, who is on the phone line right now. Craig.
Yes, good day to you, Paul. Thank you so much. This is definitely an issue that, as you said, is dividing our nation, but it's something that has to be addressed very be confronted, so to speak. And what we're dealing with here is a balance between compassion on the one side, but then the rule of law on the other. So what's taken place is President Barack Obama's plan to shield up to as many as 5 million immigrants living in the U.S. from deportation remained on hold Tuesday after a federal appeals court panel refused to allow it to take effect immediately. So what had happened is that back in November, President Obama announced an executive action seeking to expand a program that protects young immigrants from deportation if they were brought into the U.S. illegally as children. The order also would extend deportation protections to some parents of U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Obama argued that the Congress has not acted on immigration, even though he had pushed and prodded and tried to persuade, and he said this forced him to make sweeping changes on his own. Of course, the Republicans in Congress and even some Democrats came back and said that is an executive overreach, that is an unconstitutional action. And so, as you said, 26 states sued to stop this action, and a federal judge based in Texas issued a preliminary injunction against it in February. Then again, this was upheld this week in the Texas Fifth Circuit, where judges Jerry Smith and Jennifer Walker Elrod said that the federal government lawyers are unlikely to succeed on the merits of the appeal, and Judge Stephen Higginson disagreed with a lengthy dissent. Now, this has people who are strict constructionists on the Constitution very happy, and it has others who are concerned about immigration reform concerned.
The Department of Justice is weighing its next move against the ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and could bring the case all the way before the Supreme Court. Arizona State Senator Martine Cusada says Latino voters will be watching what happens very carefully.
We're going to stay strong. We're going to watch. We're going to continue to see what our elected officials are doing and what they are doing in order to advance immigration reform forward.
The U.S. Court of Appeals in New Orleans ruled yesterday that the orders regarding undocumented immigrants must be delayed until a lawsuit filed by 26 states is resolved.
That was Joe Gomez, by the way, from 24/7 News, one of our news providers for Grace and Truth and Faith Radio. Now, your thoughts about what the report said there, Craig?
Well, the issue here is that the action had already started to take place. The judges were quite surprised about this, by the way, because they thought that when the earlier stay had gone into effect, that no actual changes had occurred. But Hanen issued his injunction believing that neither action had taken effect. But the Justice Department later told him that more than 108,000 people had already received three-year reprieves from deportation, as well as work permits. And Hanen said that the federal government had been misleading, but he declined to sanction the government's attorneys. And earlier this month, the U.S. government told Hanen that it had mistakenly awarded the three-year work permits to another 2,000 people. Oops. So this is a problem and this is why this action had to take place. Now, what's going to more than likely happen, as Governor Abbott has said, is that none of this action will now be able to happen during the Obama administration because it will linger in the courts. And more than likely, it will be appealed to the Supreme Court, which means that it's going to be at least a year, probably two, before it actually is heard by the Supreme Court, because they only have so many openings to hear cases, and so they pick cases that they believe are the most important. So it may be pushed back down to the lower court to litigate, and then again be pushed back up to the Supreme Court, depending on what the outcome of that litigation is. But there were several different groups that got involved with this, who were legal groups, who gave their opinions to the court. And one of those was the American Center for Law and Justice. In a press release, Jay Sekulow wrote earlier this week that the brief notes that the president oversteps his authority. This is the brief that they wrote. They said that the president has overstepped his authority, exceeded the bounds of his authority in this issue, but he created a new class-based program. Now, listen to that. What the ACLJ is arguing is that a new class has been created in the United States as a result of this. And it's basically a class that has gotten into the country illegally, but then is given amnesty, but they're not yet citizens. So they are not legal immigrants. They're not citizens. So it's this new class. And so he writes, the DHS directive creates a new class, roughly 4 million parents of U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents who are unlawfully in the United States, and grants members of the class deferred removal, among other benefits, if they meet the basic eligibility requirements. The government's creation of a categorical class-based program is neither moored in constitutional authority nor in authority delegated by a lawful statute passed by Congress. Very interesting argument here. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens in this situation. But I've talked to friends, I've talked to neighbors. There has been the argument of, well, compassion trumps the legality of the situation. And I kind of scratch my head and I think, how can a society operate if whenever we feel like we need to be compassionate, we just ignore the laws that are on the books? Now, I don't have a problem with people who are compassionate and moved, getting involved in the political process and helping to push through legislation that changes the law. In that case, then we are back to the situation where the law is the law. But the executive is not constitutionally empowered to just write some sort of a dictate saying 5 million people now can do this because I say so. That's not how our government was set up. That's not how it works. And unless we stand up, even if we may feel that we are moved by the plight of these immigrants, and believe me, I mean, anybody with any kind of compassionate heart is moved by the plight of people who are involved in these kind of situations. They're looking for a better life. We need to say, but if we do this, suddenly we're kind of tossing our governmental system. We're tossing the way that the founders placed things in order so that there would be checks and balances. Actually, for me, it's heartening, Paul, to see that the courts have, in this case, have stepped in and said, hold on a minute, this needs to be reviewed, because that is exactly the reason for the courts in the first place. What are your thoughts?
First off, this gets back to the whole issue of we have these executive orders or executive actions that you told us about before, which are slightly different than the executive orders. But all of a sudden, the fact that they were being imposed before they're properly litigated, that was checking my system right there because, okay, even if this was the right thing to do, it's being done the wrong way, which leads to precedence of other issues or could be wrong being acted upon by some people in the government. Now, that was issue number one. Number two, we're starting to strike on that because let's talk about the biblical balance. We have this call in the Bible first to be welcoming, helping the poor, the outcast, the sojourners. But there's also the need, and you see this in Scripture too, where God calls on governments, hey, you need to protect the economies, the safety, and the health of your people. And this is where this whole immigration issue gets very, very fuzzy, because in the desire to be compassionate, we're undermining our own health and stability.
And Paul, you make a very good point, because every nation has immigration laws on the books for that very purpose. And throughout history, this has been the case. If you have leaky borders, then you are not able to have an idea of even how the resources need to be allocated, educational resources, health and human services resources, even welfare and unemployment resources, not to mention road building, city infrastructure, on and on and on. All of these things, the decisions made by federal, state, and local governments is based on the research that is gathered because of the number of population and people that are there. When suddenly you have millions of people who are, and I shouldn't say suddenly because this has been going on here in the United States, but there are communities where suddenly you have a huge influx of illegal immigrants, they have to take that burden on. So what happens? There is no free lunch. Who's going to pay for it? Well, more than likely, somebody's taxes are going to go up, whether it's your property tax, your sales tax, your income tax, et cetera, the taxes will have to be raised in order to pay for these services that are there. So, it goes a long way.
Let me add one more aspect to this, though. What about the illegal immigrant who comes in, he's undocumented, we don't know he's there, he doesn't have legal protections? Oh, we kind of impose him in there, but in the reality, a lot of these people are subjected to almost slave-like conditions, or they're flying under the radar, that they don't get, if you want to use the term, justice they deserve within our system, or should, if they were legal immigrants.
Well, and that is the other side of the coin, and you're exactly right. All the laws that have been put into place regarding child labor, regarding the work day, regarding OSHA type of protections and so forth, if you're an illegal and you're working in somebody's field out in the middle of nowhere, none of that is going to be in place for you, and there's all kinds of room for people to be abused under those systems. So that's the other side of the compassion issue that needs to be upheld. This is definitely an area for people to be praying and for us to be walking forward in a circumspect way, so that it's not an emotional situation, but that we are asking the hard questions and that we are working to make sure that everyone's rights are upheld, and especially that the innocent are protected.
Well, we're going to come back, taking a quick break. And when we come back for Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick, we're going to talk about an old issue that's been made new, the war in Iraq. Stay with us. It truly has been amazing how in the last 20 years our world has been changed by technology, the internet, having news and information at your fingertips, even on your phone. The ability to stay connected and interact with people via social media has in many ways changed who we are. But the question behind this is, are you just following the crowd, or are you strategic in your use of these new technologies and conveniences as a way to share your faith in Jesus and as a way of communicating both His and your love for others? That's Dr. Craig von Busick's challenge to us in his book, Netcasters, with more people both here in America and around the world using the internet for their spiritual information and experiences. It's become the new Roman road. Netcasters will help you practically use this new tool to reach others for the gospel. Find out more at the Grace and Truth show page at myfaithradio.com.
Iraq is a symbol, and you certainly can make a persuasive argument it was a mistake, but there's a kind of line going along that Bush and the other people lied about this. I spent 18 months looking at how Bush decided to invade Iraq, and lots of mistakes, but it was Bush telling George Tenet, the CIA director, don't let anyone stretch the case on WMD. And he was the one who was skeptical, but there was no lie in this that I could find.
Interesting words from a very interesting source this past Sunday on Fox News Sunday. Hi, I'm Paul Perreault. This is Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick. And the voice you heard was that of Bob Woodward, Washington Post journalist. He's been an investigative journalist for them, mainly investigative journalist as far as politics and the presidency is concerned. As a matter of fact, he was a key journalist in the whole breaking of the Watergate scandal. And Craig, Oh, to be like him, to have Robert Redford play him in a movie.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like a younger version of Robert Redford to play you?
Everyone's dream to have Robert Redford play me.
but again, interesting source from a man who's followed presidential politics. And, you know, we've been through so many years of this post-Iraq war. Was it the wise thing to do? It's matter of fact, it's been a political question, a hot potato in so far with many of the Republican candidates. Still, we're getting to the point. Interesting source from a guy who he's been following presidential politics. And it's for those who say Bush lied, people died. He's saying, no, rethink that.
I really appreciate what you said there in using that slogan. That's something that you see people carrying these large placards and walking around in a circle in front of a federal building yelling out this slogan. And sadly, there are a lot of people who still believe that. And so that is why this is an important discussion to have as we are entering into this next political season of the presidential races. Now, Bob Woodward, he worked for the Washington Post, not exactly a conservative publication. He's not been known as a conservative, so to speak, and he's actually, you know, fought against conservative positions through his writing over the years. But one of the things that I really respect about him is that he believes in the old-fashioned Morrow school of journalistic ethics, where you are seeking truth. And that's what this program is all about, Paul. That's why we call it Grace and Truth. This program is about saying, all right, let's look at these issues, but let's look at them from a position of what is the truth behind this. And so to have someone like Bob Woodward, who has this amazing pedigree, he's considered one of the – he's a legend, really. He's a legend of journalism. And to have him say that he looked at this for 18 months, first of all, that is a significant amount of time. And a significant person looking at this significant issue for a significant amount of time. And he says – there's nowhere that I found that Bush lied. Now, I like the fact that he says he, you know, mistakes were made, because obviously, if you're human, mistakes are going to be human. Mistakes are going to be made. You're making decisions based on the information that's given to you, and I think that's important for us, we the people, to recognize that there's a difference between lying and making a decision based on faulty information. Now, let me give a list of other people who were given that information just so that we understand the context, the historical context. President Bill Clinton was given the same exact information that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. His wife, being his wife and now the Senate, former senator and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was also given the same information, and she voted for the war. Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is considered a left-leaning politician in Great Britain, was given the same information, and he got behind the war in Iraq. So this is not just this one cowboy president from Texas who's just saying, yeehaw, let's invade, which is what many journalistic outlets tried to portray President Bush in that light. No, as Woodward is saying here, President Bush was trying to walk a balanced road. He was saying to the director of the CIA, let's not stretch the case on WMD. He wanted to walk according to the truth of what was really happening. And unfortunately, when we got in there, we found out that the intelligence, quote unquote, was not what they thought it was. There are other people, though, Paul, that are standing up in this time that have been saying the same thing, who actually have been on the inside. There's a gentleman named Michael Morell, who's a former deputy director and former acting director of the CIA. He, speaking to journalists this last week about his book that he's written, his book is called The Great War of Our Time, and then colon, The CIA's Fight Against Terrorism from Al-Qaeda to ISIS. I mean, talk about a timely book. He said, quote, we didn't have to be pushed there, meaning to the place of believing that there were WMD, because we already believed it. The best way to prove that to you is to tell you that we told President Bill Clinton the same thing before George Bush ever came into office. And he pointed out the some of the decision-making process behind what was going on and some of the motivation behind what was going on when he was speaking to Ed Berliner from The Hardline on Newsmax.com. He said 3,000 people had just been killed. And it's the job of the president to protect the American people, and he feels that stronger than anybody else. He's sitting there thinking, as bad as 9/11 was, how bad could it be if Saddam Hussein had these weapons and used them against us, or if he gave them to terrorist groups that we knew that he had supported, and they came and they used them against us. So the president of the United States, his job is to protect and to defend the nation. And he is being told that a person like Saddam Hussein, a dictator, a tyrant, who actually used chemical weapons against his own people and gassed his own people to death and has made these bellicose statements about using them against the United States, well, the president has to take that seriously, and that's what happened. So, yes, a mistake was made, but it was not a mistake based on a lie, and that's what's coming out by people who were there and people who have done the investigation, like Bob Woodward.
You know, actually, Bob Woodward did talk more with Chris Wallace about how we got into the war. And it, from his description, it doesn't sound like Bush was gung-ho to go into war.
If you try to summarize why we went into Iraq, it was momentum. The war plan kept getting better and easier. And finally, at the end, people were saying, hey, look, it'll only take a week or two. And early on, it looked like it was going to take a year or 18 months. And so Bush pulled the trigger. A mistake certainly can be argued, and there's an abundance of evidence, but there was no lie in this.
Again, here he goes again. There's no lie. But all right, this is over 10 years ago now that we went to war with Iraq. Why is it an issue now?
Morrell brought that point up. Michael Morrell brought that point up in his interview. He said that he sees it as an unfair question to ask current presidential candidates if they would have acted differently against Iraq, knowing what we know now. He says, because obviously everyone now knows there were no WMDs. And that's like asking President Barack Obama to tell us what's going to happen in 18 months with ISIS. There's no way to know what's going to happen in the future. We can only make decisions based on the best information that we have at the time. So it's just not a fair question, and it's not even a question that honestly is a logical question, because it just doesn't make sense. So we're coming into this season where because of what's happening with ISIS, there are a group of liberals who are blaming President Bush and saying, you're the one who caused ISIS. There are a group of conservatives who are blaming President Obama and saying, because what you have done has caused ISIS and the terrorism to spread around the world. And so this is going to be a central issue with the Benghazi attack, with what's going on with ISIS and the murders of Christians and just the going back to the 6th century in the Middle East. That is going to be a key part of this upcoming presidential debate and campaign. And so I think it's important for people like Bob Woodward and Mike Morrell to get this on the record, to say there was no lie involved. This was based on the information that was given. Mistakes were made, but this president didn't do so based on lies.
Now, we are out of time, and there's so many more angles we could take about it. The whole issue of, in the whole political discourse, regardless of what side you are on with us, the civility that's necessary. But we are so out of time right now. We got to give time for you to quickly pray. So, Craig, would you lead us?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for these things. We just ask you, Lord, that you would give wisdom, Lord, to the people who are considering this next choice of who's going to be president. When it comes to upholding the rule of law, upholding the balance of powers that were dictated by the Constitution, when it comes to making decisions that just have an effect on all the people of the United States, whether it be going to war or how to deal with the economy, whatever it may be, we have important decisions coming up in elections for the House, for the Senate, for local and state elections, but especially for the presidential election coming up. We ask for your wisdom. And we pray that we would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and that we would follow your leading, and that we as a people, we the people, Lord, would follow after you first and foremost. Give us wisdom, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greg, thanks again for being with us this weekend.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
This has been Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig Von Busick. You can find out more information about our show, listen to past broadcasts, at our show page at myfaithradio.com. Until next week, I'm Paul Perreault, urging you, as you read the newspaper, as you're scanning the internet, pray the news with grace and truth.